Are you missing the sounds that matter most? What if you could hear every word, every laugh, and every moment crystal clear without spending thousands on expensive hearing aids? Introducing Audion Atom, the world's most affordable FDA-approved hearing aid. With the revolutionary A2 chip, you get premium sound, zero background noise, and a 24-hour rechargeable battery. They even have Bluetooth connectivity to connect to your cell phone or TV. Unlike those traditional bulky $5,000 prescription hearing aids, the Audion Atom is 90% smaller, 20 times cheaper, and works instantly. No visits to the audiologist needed. Audion Atom has over 500,000 happy customers who have trusted Audion Atom to restore their hearing. Our 100% money-back guarantee means zero risk to try. Don't like them? Simply return them and get your money back. They also come with a lifetime warranty. For the next 72 hours, the Audion Atom is 53% off. Go to tryhearingaid.com right now to order your pair for only $99. Again, go to tryhearingaid.com to order your pair for only $99. Order now before it's too late, as these hearing aids have sold out over 10 times this year. With Audion Atom, you can hear life again.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today I am joined by the one and only from Survivor Edge of Extinction, Ron Clark, for Survivor 48 Predictions and Power Rankings, episode number 8. We are down to the final 10. Ron, you are lounging. It looks like it could not be nicer where you are right now. It looks like you're having the time of your life.
It's my favorite spot on earth. I love my porch. I spend pretty much all day and night on my porch. My two dogs are out here. It's the most peaceful place. I love it.
I'm telling you, you're making me jealous. I'm in South Florida. It's not hoodie weather, that's for sure. So I'm a little jealous of the fact that you have like what looks like real spring going on behind you.
It's a very spring day in Atlanta. Just too much pollen. Like they say, it's the most pollen ever on record anywhere on earth. It's like if I sit too long, I have a crust of yalla on top of me.
That's unbelievable. I'm coming up to your event for Wednesday and I'm like, I haven't had allergies in years because in South Florida and California, I never really got anything. And the one picture of like just how hazy it was in Atlanta at one point, I was like, I'm not looking forward. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to anybody by the time Wednesday comes around.
Just take one Claritin and then the nasal cort, two pumps, mm-hmm. You'll be good.
That's what I'm hoping, man. That's what I'm hoping. But how are you doing? I feel like all of a sudden you've become so into Survivor again. I feel like I'm seeing you everywhere. You throw these killer parties, which I went to last year, and I'm so excited for this one. What has like kind of just sparked this like Survivor? Like you've become like kind of just all over the place with it. What's happened?
Well, I don't know about that, but I love Survivor. I've always loved it. I've been a fan since day one, a true fan. So when I got asked to be on the show, when I applied and made it, I was so grateful. And I was like, so many thousands of people try. I was like, I've got to find some way to give back to the community. Now, when I was on, we couldn't go to events. If you're on the cast, you can't be seen anywhere. We were told we couldn't go anywhere. And so as soon as they opened it up and said, now it's okay as long as they don't get photographed and now they don't care, you can just do whatever. But I said, you know what would be a way for me to give back to the Survivor community? It's to throw a little watch party. We have a beautiful facility. We have this great state-of-the-art theater. We can watch the show in. And so that's kind of how it started. And I felt like it was my way to give back to the community for being grateful for getting to be on the show.
Yeah, and for anybody who's going to that event and this is your first time going this Wednesday, Ron has so much Survivor stuff. that was probably the coolest part of going to that last year was how much Survivor stuff you had. You had the slide puzzle, the torch. What do you call that room? You had a name for it, didn't you?
Well, I have a little museum. I'm a bit of a geek. Like I've got all the puzzles, all the things, anything that you've seen on the show, I've made it. We've got it. And so, and people come and you get to actually try the real puzzle and it's the real size from the show. So you can see, you can time yourself. How quickly could I have done this? How long could I have balanced here? How long could I make this thing go around in a circle? So I just thought it'd be fun for the fans to get to try those things because it's easy to sit on the couch and say, I'd kill that. But then when you're actually doing it, you realize, oh, it's harder than I thought.
And how many years have you been doing this now?
I think the first time was 2019, or 2020. I guess this is the fifth party.
Fifth time. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm excited for it. I'm ready to see what you have in store. And for anybody who goes, I mean, all the watch parties are always great. I love going to all of these things, Bryce and Wendell. I've been to some of Johnny Fair plays. Like I love going to as many as I can, but to be able to watch this in like a theater, that's the unique experience that the Ron Clark event gives you, right?
That's what I've got that the others don't, because they throw probably better parties than I do, But the part of our experience that's really unique is that you're in the state of the art theater, 850 people watching the show, and I don't let people talk. Like, you got to watch it. There's no like noise. We're actually watching like you're at the movie theater. And then, of course, during challenges, we're all gasping and cheering, and it's exciting. And then during the commercial, I go up to the castaways and I'll ask questions like, so in that moment, what were you really thinking? Or were you really scared? Or why did you say it that way? And so you kind of get some behind the scenes of what you just watched in that clip, which I think that's the coolest part.
Mm-hmm. No, that was so much fun to see everybody and to just watch it. And really, I mean, because no matter what, if you're in a bar, even if you're shushing people, I mean, I know for Edge of Extinction, you guys were actually had a live finale, and then you went to the bar after, and it was like, oh yeah, it's on TV. Nobody was watching that on West Coast time.
No one watches. Zero watching.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I want to hear everything, so I can't do that.
So, speaking of hearing everything, last week we had Cedric and Say go home, and Say set the record for the most confessionals for any pre-jury member in the history of Survivor. 53. Ron, do you remember how many you had on your season?
28.
Is that what it was? I got to look. I'm actually very curious because you made it deep. I can never get the placements rights on Edge of Extinction because then you all went to Edge of Extinction and then some people came back, and you know, so I can never get the placements right. You had 20. So you know that. You don't even need me to look. She had 21 in the first episode.
It's ridiculous. And so I thought when I saw that, I said, she's going to go far in this. Something's going to happen. She's going to be a big player. I thought she would have lasted longer. So I was surprised when she got voted out earlier. But the difference in now, it's an hour and a half episode. So, of course, there'll be more confessionals. And I was on the Edge of Extinction, which half of our show is the people on the Edge of Extinction. And so that cuts down the time. And then also, we won every challenge. We had Joe Engelum and comma. And so we never went to tribal. So we didn't have that many opportunities to give confessionals. It was a wonky season.
It was a very wonky season. Yeah, the comma six. And then the fact that when there was a tribe split, Lesu just stayed together. That didn't change anything. Yeah. Everything just stayed status quo. So what did you think, though? So you see Say, you thought she was going to go further. Were you buying a little bit last week that it was going to be Mitch ultimately who went home? Was that the one where it was Mitch versus Say, or was it Cheyenne versus Say? It was Mitch versus Say, correct? I can't even remember now. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. I did not think she was going home.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Cheyenne. I thought he might have been going home. And you see, because I've been saying all along, Cheyenne is my winner pick. And so I was nervous last week. But, you know, typically what happens, you'll have the winner will have a moment somewhere in the season where people mention they're a threat, they get challenged a little bit. And so I think maybe that could have been his moment. And so he's still my winner pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had him going up and sitting there talking to Say and talking to her. And then he has the confessional of Say's not going to react to the way some of these people are trying to talk to her. She needs kind of that brute honesty. She needs that different approach. I do feel like even though she doesn't make the jury, maybe that kind of shows how Cheyenne is playing and leaning into trying to make everybody around him happy and really satisfy everybody. And he's thinking about the end game and also just people in general.
Right. Yeah, I thought that showed his gameplay. I thought there were a lot of things I liked about him in that episode. And especially when he was doing the sound, the waka, waka, he was doing that sound. And I said to myself, come on, Survivor production. If you don't take that sound and turn it into a song right now, you're missing an opportunity. And all of a sudden, waka, they did it. I was like, oh, I thought that was so great. But I used to, after college, I moved to London. I waited tables at a restaurant. And British people are interesting. I worked with a bunch of British people, and they were very cold, very standoffish, very rude, not very warm. I'm from the South. And so I was like, my goodness, these people are the rudest people on earth. But then once I worked with them over time and we built a relationship and a bond, they became the closest, best people I'd ever met in my whole life. I think Say's kind of like that. She's one of those people where, you know, I'm not going to take you for face value. You got to earn a relationship with me, just like I had to earn the relationship with the British people. But once you earned it, they're so solid. I think Say is that type of person. And I think Cheyenne read into that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to describe it, because it seemed like Cedric felt some sort of bond with Say for sure. And that's why he kept protecting her. And we saw in his exit press, he was talking about it was more than the game. It was something more personal. And it seemed like, you know, Mary and Say kind of had their differences early and then started to find their way together. It's just about giving her a chance. It's like that hard exterior, right? But then beneath it, there is something. And I feel like I met Say once and I thought she was very nice. So that's all I'm saying. But I thought she's that lovely on the show. Yeah, she just couldn't get her footing though.
Yeah, but lovely person. It's just, you can't play. It's a hard game if you're going to play it that way. Maybe if she'd have been a little bit bolder and a little bit more outspoken, they would have thought, well, let's take her to the end because no one's going to give her the money. But it just didn't quite play out that way for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we jump over, I have to ask you about Cedric. But here, this is from Worth Playing For. So thank you for the super chat here, Worth Playing For. Can you tell Ron I love him? He's one of my favorite one-time players. Ron, you've been told.
Well, that's very nice of you. I thought I was playing the game like Boston Rob in my head. I thought, oh, I'm killing this. And then you watch it on TV, and I was like, what the hell was I doing? But anyway, I did try hard. And I don't have any regrets. I played as hard as I possibly could.
So let me ask you this, because I think Say right now and some of the other players, you know, Cedric has been integral in so many vote outs, and then Say had such a big edit. But what was it like for you when you, like you said, you're in your head, you're seeing it one way. And now when these players are getting voted out, Say Charity, who goes to one tribal council and gets voted out, Cedric, who goes out in the fashion he is, like, what's that jarring realization when you're watching it on TV and you go, oh, wow, there's a totally different world that they are showing of me than what I thought it was going to be?
It's a little heartbreaking. And I was kind of naive because I guess I didn't do the math in my head to figure out how much time they could possibly show, because there were so many great conversations and shocking moments and things that happened on my season. They didn't show any of it because it didn't propel the story. It wasn't necessary. And so I felt like no one is going to ever get to see those moments that were amazing. Like one time, Julie and I, we were like, let's go try and fish. We went out way deep into the water and we were out too deep and the sharks were swimming around, and Julie slipped whoop, into one of those holes, and all the coral went in her thigh and down her leg. So blood is all over the water. The sharks are coming. I go to help her. Broop, I fall down. I'm all scraped up. Blood's everywhere. The cameramen are taking off, like backing up. And I'm like, what's going on? Get her out of there. And so that was like this big moment that I'm like, oh, I'm sure they're going to have to show how dramatic that was, because they had to pick the coral out of Julie's side. It was all kind of medical issues. They didn't show any of it. And I thought, wow, I thought that would be good dramatic TV, but it wasn't necessary. So it's a little heartbreaking when you think something that's happened or a good strategic move happened and they don't show it. Someone like Charity is probably feeling like all they showed me was making miscues. They didn't show me building that alliance with Mitch. They didn't show the right things I said. They only showed the wrong things I said to fit a narrative. That's hard.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. And I feel like especially in the new era, people are a lot more vocal on social media, and it's such a bigger portion of the game. I know during your season, it was a little bit, but not to the extent that it is now. And so, I mean, you make one mistake on the show and social media is like, oh my God, this person's so dumb. And that's gotta be a hard thing when you're coming back and you're like, I just had the experience of a lifetime, especially for some diehard fans. Like you're talking day one fan, like you were, yes. That's gotta be brutal.
Like I love the community. I love Survivor fans. I mean, I'm all invested, but there are some people out there who were, I got death threats. I got hate messages. It was really, really rough. And the main thing that came from was Kelly and Lauren and I were in a challenge together and we didn't win. And I was trying to find a bright spot to not winning. And I was like, well, at least we didn't win the food, so they won't have more strength. And they haven't eaten in a while. Maybe that'll cause them not to think clearly. So maybe it's a good thing that they didn't get to eat. It'll make them weaker. Then 5 minutes later, Lauren passes out on the challenge and almost dies. I got so many messages. I hope you die. You wish that on her. Da, 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 da. And I was like, no. And so, but then somebody texted me. I can't remember who it was. And they said, those people that are telling you they want you to die, if they saw you in person, they'd say, oh, you're on Survivor. Can I get an autograph? So That kind of helped me put it into perspective. But these people right now, if you're playing Survivor, you are getting heard from. I'm telling you. And if you're reading all these comments they put on Reddit and everywhere, it can be brutal.
Yeah, It really can. And that was always one of my big things is like, try to stay away as much as you can. But I know when you're in it, you're excited to be playing it. You're excited to be doing it. And I feel like It just becomes so much infighting with everybody. It's crazy. And that does add, you know, if you're really active on social media, like if you're a person who watches the show on social media, like I kind of feel like I have to be, being that I do this podcast. So you're always seeing things. It does impact the way you think about some people based on how they're interacting with, you know, the trolls essentially all over social media. And it's hard not to interact in some way.
Yeah, exactly. And I have my tip my hat to the cast, these new era cast members. They go to all these parties. When I was on, we were told we couldn't go. Like I said, I was on the couch with the covers put over my head, like peeking through to watch because I didn't know what's going to happen in the episode. I was like, what are they going to show me, say? What's going to be next? And these people are going to start yelling at me. So to actually be in person in a theater with 850 people watching all this happening and you're right there, that takes some guts. I'm proud of them.
Yeah. So what did you think about Cedric's game here early on? He obviously had a big impact on a lot of the votes. And then he ends up getting voted out pretty early here. What was your take on all the chaos that he was just a part of in this?
I don't know. I mean, I like Cedric. You can tell he's just a really great guy, a really nice guy. It was funny. I saw someone online said, if you tell Cedric what you have, he'll vote you out. If you don't tell him, he'll vote you out. Like, you can't win with Cedric. But I thought it was interesting. I think he may have made some mistakes in trying to align himself so closely with Say, of course. And then on the challenges, that was not his thing, bless his heart. But I think he's a wonderful guy. And I thought the moment when he was emotional and Star was comforting him, I love Star. I thought that was really beautiful. I love when Survivor shows someone being vulnerable because, listen, on that island, it will break you. It will break you. I was broken many times where I was crying myself. It's a difficult game, and I appreciate seeing that soft side.
Yeah, he was another one. You know, as he was so important to so many votes early on, you're saying to yourself, how deep is he going to go? It feels like he's going to go. And then you get that scene with Star and I mean, are you a fan of the split tribal councils that they're doing here with the 6-6, or do you wish that they would just stick with 12?
You know, I was trying to figure out why they do that. I was like, I do know when they announce it's the merge, or when you know it's going to be the merge, that's more ratings because people, oh, it's the merge. That's going to be something to watch other than, oh, it's just another two tribes. So maybe they're trying to say, let's promote it's the merge. We still get these two votes that we need to get out of here, but I don't know. I can't figure out why they're doing it, but I'm along for the show. I'm along for the ride. If they want to do it that way, I'm completely fine with that. I think you run a risk when you divide it into six like that someone who should go far gets voted out, but I'm happy with it. It doesn't bother me like other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what the reason I asked you that here is because we got that really nice moment with Cedric and Say. Or I'm sorry, not Say, Cedric and Star, and then they're not even at the same tribal council, you know? So, like, we don't really get a payoff to that as much as I think a lot of people would have wanted, which maybe if it was a 12-person tribal, maybe then you do have people fighting for each other a little bit harder. Here's a question, because this is kind of what people have been asking. Because you've been watching for so long, in just your preference, would you rather them do this kind of thing post-merge where they split into two groups and two people go home? Or would you rather them do a double boot in the pre-merge where the two losing tribes just go and the winning tribe's the only one who save?
I'd rather them do it like they're doing now. Let them merge and then split them into two.
Okay.
I'd rather that.
And
you know, Kelly Wentworth. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask any particular reason, but it sounds like you were going to go with it. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the earlier the merge, the better for me. I like everyone getting together. Even if you have to split up for a minute, then come back. I like the merge. I like to see the dynamics of everyone's personalities there together. And then if they have to split up and then come back, do that. But I do feel bad that Say didn't get placed on the jury, though. I thought that was kind of harsh.
Yeah, I always find it. Go ahead. No, go ahead. With Kelly Wentworth. Go ahead. People want to hear about Kelly Wentworth more than they want to hear what I was going to say. That's actually true.
No. Everybody wants to hear it. She's phenomenal. Love her. But I saw her on the TikTok, and she was talking about the whole season. We've had this Mary Say thing going on. They work together, can't stand each other, coming back, all this drama. And then there's no payoff. There's no like, oh, then all of a sudden Say's voted off. Mary didn't have anything to do with it. So I was like, Yeah, I know that everything they're showing is to propel a storyline, but that storyline didn't go anywhere. So why did we focus so much time on that? I thought it was interesting that Kelly mentioned that. It's a good point.
Yeah, and it seems like they're, you know, they want to build up the characters. You want to tell the stories of the characters. But even at the merge, we got that clip of Mary say being like, I'm so happy Mary's here. We're going to be able to work together. And then Mary being like, I'm not happy to see Say. I wish she wasn't here. And then ultimately, they're not even at the same tribal council for this. So it's like, I get why they wanted to build it up in the early portion of the game. But at that point, it's like, why is that more necessary than maybe getting a soundbite from somebody we heard less from, you know?
Right.
So,
and I think, I don't know, maybe they're picking Say to come back on season 50 or something. I don't know. No idea.
I know that rumor has been circulating a little bit. We'll see. We'll see if she ends up being in there. I mean, they did give her a massive, you know, whose record she broke for those first 7 episodes, right?
Oh gosh, I can't remember, but I do know it. Hold on. I don't remember. Go ahead.
So I'm not just saying the pre-jury thing. Do you know who had the record for the most confessionals through 7 episodes in Survivor history, regardless of where they placed?
Oh gosh. Not Tony. I don't remember. Coach?
It was Russell Hantz in Samoa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So she was breaking Russell Hantz's records. And what were they setting up Russell for? To come back for Heroes versus Villains. So maybe we're on, maybe everybody's on to something with that, that maybe Say will be in the mix there. But let's jump over. We got 10 people left. You've already talked about how you think Shaheen is going to be your winner here and everything like that. But what is your take on this whole strong five, Joe, Eva, David, Shaheen, and Kyle? Where do you think Camilla fits into this? What do you think is going on with these last 10 people?
I love it. I love this season. It's my favorite new era season so far. I am here for it. I love the players. I love the cast. And I think the people that are still in deserve to still be in. And it's so often, it's like every season, let's vote out the strong people. Vote out the strong people. Vote out the strong people. And then sometimes you have the strong people try to pull together, but they can't pull it off. So the fact that they're actually, looks like they're pulling this off, I'm excited about it. But if you saw the previews for next week, it looks like the castle's about to fall. Because Chrissy, who at the last tribal council, very bold of her, she was like, we need to vote out the strong people. We need to da-da-da-da. That was a bold comment. It shows her in the preview going back to the tribe and being like, oh, I was just jockeying. I was just saying whatnot. But I think that puts a target on her back. Then it shows her, and you see her talking to someone, and you see their elbow, but I think it's Kyle. And she's like, we've got to go for the big dog. We've got to go for Joe. And so I don't know. It looks like all kinds of drama could be playing out, but I think Chrissy's going home. Mm-hmm. I think because she stuck her foot in her mouth. She's trying to make a play. And I think those strong people, I think they're going to stick together. I think Chrissy's up next to go.
So you're buying that the strong five will be an alliance at least for one more episode. Do you think that they're going to actually be the final five of this season, or you think something's going to blow it up?
I think Shaheen blows it up. And I think the fact that he's the one that blows it up and makes it to the end, I think that's why he wins. It's just, who knows? Shaheen could be voted out this week. Who knows? But it's just a prediction.
Yeah. No, I like that. I mean, it seems like a lot of people are thinking that it's really going to play out along these lines. You're going to get like they're all playing such a straightforward game. I mean, David has admitted that he doesn't watch Survivor. He just went and watched the new era just to watch the new era before going out there. He's not this crazy social strategy heavy guy. He really does want to just play with, I like you, you like me, we're both strong, let's keep moving forward. If there was ever going to be a season for this to happen, it does feel like this. But then you have Kyle, Camilla, Shaheen, who are kind of being considered a part of that. I just don't see them all just going along for the ride and pretty much handing either Eva or Joe $1 million, in my opinion.
I love Camilla. I love her. I love Kyle. I would join the Camillatary. I love her little troop she's got going on. They are so clever and so smart and so wise, and they're both great actors. I love it. But I am concerned for David, though, because in the preview, forever so much you can read into that, they're saying, what is David doing? David's lost his mind. It's got to be David. Then it shows David saying something kind of off. So I feel like in the preview, if they're showing Chrissy and David being so vocal and loud, and then Chrissy saying Joe, I feel like either Chrissy, Joe, or David goes home this week. But I think it ends up backfiring, and it's Chrissy. Mm-hmm. And it's all going to happen right in front of me. I'm going to be sitting beside these people. I can't wait. It's going to be good drama. You're going to be sitting there too.
I am. My favorite part is, like, you guys really don't understand when Ron is in the crowd watching. And then as soon as the commercial hits, like, Ron's excitement level hits a 10 immediately when he can just start talking. It is unbelievable. Ron's not exaggerating with the hands that he was just doing there. That's how Ron gets immediately when the commercial starts. It's just immediately, what's going on, guys? Tell me everything.
It's
I want to
so
know.
Fun. Because I've got real genuine questions. Why would you say that? What was going on in your mind? Or do you regret making that decision? It's fun.
And I think what makes it fun too with you doing that is you've played, so you know how heavily edited things can be. So you know how out of context certain moments can be. I know your season was famous for it had that Franken edit, the one confessional where everybody was like, where did that come from? That wasn't even like the same thing. And so it's fun to like hear you just be like, so what was going on? I mean, I remember at your last one, shots were being fired from some people to other people. There were some digs being sent from some cast members. So maybe we'll get some drama again. You know how to bring out those moments from people.
Well, sometimes there is tension among casts, and then sometimes I might poke it just a little bit. Just a little bit to ask a question. Not too much.
And after
a little bit.
And after like one beer, right? Then it's like, okay, let's poke a little bit harder.
Oh yeah, listen. Listen. It's not my fault anymore.
Did you come up with Camilla Terry, or is that on the internet?
I didn't come up with that. I saw someone say it on Reddit, or someone said, yeah, she's like a general marching in a battle. I would join her Camilla Terry. I think someone said that and I saw it and I thought it was cute.
That's amazing. I love that. I have to throw up another super chat here. Here's JB. I love comma. There you go. I mean, look at
comma,
that.
Comma, comma, comma.
One of my favorite things after the season, talking to Lauren and Kelly, when they were like, they were over doing that stupid comma dance. We're over here voting out everybody on our tribe.
Oh, we never lost. We had dances, and I would do it at nighttime. I would do Family Feud. I came up with all the questions. We played all kinds of games. We were having a blast. One dinner, I had eaten too much. Joe Engelman had gotten too many fish, and we had too many things, and I was stuffed. We were like, I'm like, this is the best fun ever. And then over there, they were just struggling at Manu.
I love it. I love it. Is there anything so far that you've seen on this season? We'll get into the power rankings here soon. I already know who your one and I know who your 10 are. So we'll probably go through those pretty quickly, but I want to ask you this first. Is there anything that's happened on this season that's kind of left you scratching your head, either gameplay wise or alliance, maybe that surprised you, anything like that so far?
Scratching my head, Cedric, every moment. and Mary, how she seems to be flying under the radar, and she's just kind of like hanging around. No one's mentioning her name. She's not in an alliance. I guess no one's perceiving her as a threat right now. So I found that maybe that's a little bit interesting.
What's her next move? She's the last remaining Vula right now. She's the only one left from her original starting tribe. What's her move now?
She just doesn't get into the drama. Like right now, Chrissy's throwing herself in the frying pan because Chrissy, of her own volition, she said, if you don't make a big move, you have no resume. So she's coming out the gate right now to make a big move. I think Mary's just playing it easy, playing it slow. She's got to wait to the moment that Shaheen says, I'm now ready to flip this sucker. And then she'll have a play with him. She's just got to lay low until that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. Last week, nobody brought her name up. It was like she fit right in with the split that she was on, and it was never a question that Mary was going to go home. Like, she did a great job of navigating that.
Nope. And she's very popular online, too. The family, the community really likes Mary.
I mean, her Twitter game is unbelievable. Everything she says over there is just incredible. Even if it's, you know, words that cannot be repeated on this podcast, but you know, she is incredible at what she's doing over there on X. But, all right. So then we've talked about those. We talked about kind of the big alliance. Where is Star fitting for you? I know you said you really love Star, but what's her moves now moving forward? Now that we know the splits are done and they're just going to play this out, what do you think Star is going to have to do?
I can only predict from what I've seen, but from what I've seen, I feel like I would want to take her to the end because she's delightful to be around, but I don't think she's done anything that gives her a resume. So I'd be thinking, I want to sit beside Star at the end. Maybe she's doing some things I haven't seen, and maybe she's about to start doing some things. But at this point, I would see her as somebody I want in final three. And I do think she ends up being final three.
Really? So you think she's going to make a deep, you think she's going to make a deep run in this game? She's going to be sitting there at the finale. Who do you have a prediction on who she'd be sitting next to?
Yeah. Shaheen and Mary.
Okay. So you think that the strong five survives this week, but you're, so are you thinking at final nine, we're probably going to start to see the game getting played. People have to get through one more week and then it's going to start to turn on its head.
I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think at some point, just from watching Survivor, the edit, you know, I think we're going to have a final three of one strong, Shaheen, and then Mary and Star, who I'm not sure what they'll do between now and then, but I could see them being in the final three. Because at some point, the strong people are going to start to say, wait a minute, if we're all sitting there at the end, you know, I've got a 33% chance of winning here. I've got to start eliminating some people who have been in the big alliance, who've made some moves. I think that's going to happen naturally. Like Kelly Wentworth said on TikTok, she was like, I can't stand all of this kumbaya. And then I was like, oh, but it's about to unravel. It's going to be undone soon.
If only Manu would have been kumbaya one more episode, huh? Poor Kelly.
Jeez. Jeez. You know, I hate I voted her out. It had to be done.
It had to be done. I mean, that was the only move there. There was no doubt. But so we're hearing Joe, to go back to your.
My mistake was voting out War Dog.
Yeah.
Because War Dog was so chaotic and had everybody upset. And there was so much drama. I should have just let him stay there because he was like the best shield ever. As soon as he was gone, they're like, oh, let's vote out Ron. So
let's start looking at the commas. Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about then we have Joe. This is going to your previous point here. Joe is talking about how Mitch scares the daylights out of him because he's really likable. He's great at challenges. This is a guy who could win. And Joe is now aligned with Eva, who has the best story by far out of anybody out there. So you were just talking about eventually they're going to realize, wait, I'm going to have a 33% chance, stuff like that. Obviously, I don't think Joe ever turns on Eva. But everybody's got to kind of start to wake up a little bit to the fact of if we're worried about Mitch, we should probably be worried about Joe and we should probably be worried about David. And we should probably like that's what you're kind of seeing this going.
Yeah. And I will tell you this, and these are just all idiot predictions I'm making. But I don't think Eva goes before Joe because everyone knows that Joe's her protector and Joe's like so strong and adamant. You can't vote out Eva. Because then Joe's coming for you and he's going to be like the wrath. So Joe has to go before Eva. It has to go in that order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And you know, you're going all the way back now, but like if you go back to your Australian Outback days and your Marquesas days, whenever you got these kind of alliances, and I know Joe's not, he's not Pascal old or Roger old, but like when you have those kinds of alliances of the younger woman and then the older guy, the older guy always seems to go before the younger woman does because it is kind of that like, please vote me out before you vote her out. And it's interesting to see that old school dynamic in season 48 of the season of the show. Yeah.
A tale as old as time.
Yeah, it really is. So let's rank some of these people then. And as we go, you can kind of give your insight into kind of, you know, what you think their ceiling is. You think they can win? You think they're done? Like where you think it's going to go? But who do you think is the safest person this week? No chance they go home.
So you just want a list of who safest, who is the least safe to the most safe or the what? And that's so, what order do you want?
So for instance, I'm going to go with my number one is going to be Eva this week. Because Eva has an idol. She has a bunch of close allies. They won't be able to pull a blindside on her without Joe finding out. So they won't be able to vote her out without her knowing. So I have her as my safest this week. That doesn't mean I think she's going to win the game. It just means I think she is the safest this week.
Okay. Mine is Shaheen. And it's because I feel strongly that he had a scare last week. That scare will cause him to come back and matriculate right back to his power alliance. He's not going to play any cards this week because he just got scared. You see his face at Tribal Council. Mm-hmm. As soon as he gets back with the whole group, he's going to, we're buddy, buddy, y'all. We got to stay strong. He would not make a move next week. and they didn't even put him in the preview. So I think Shaheen is the most safe.
Yeah. And I thought what was really interesting about him, and I hope I'm not frozen here. Okay. I'm trying to load another webpage. I'm in a hotel. If I freeze, Ron, you just keep talking. So what I thought was most interesting about Shaheen's edit last week is he kept having that confessional. He had it a couple times where he said, if I can get through this one, if I can cash in these trust chips, then I could be set to win this game. And we've heard that so many times with some people, right? Like Rachel had that season.
I said it.
If only it wasn't for the Edge of Extinction twist, Ron, you know?
Let's blame it on the twist. Blame it on the twist.
That's what we're supposed to do. We got to give you the benefit of the doubt. But I think that, you know, that type of confessional at this point in the game, if you look at it from a strategic standpoint, to me, Shaheen is the best strategist in the Strong Five Alliance. Now that's because Camilla is not in the Strong Five Alliance, although I think Camilla is very good. But now Shaheen, if he can start to play his game and get moving, I totally see why you're super, super, super high on him going into this week.
Yeah. You know what'll be interesting? I wonder if my opinions will change after I spend an evening with them, watching the show with them. Who knows?
We got to get, you got to put out like an Instagram. This is what I was saying earlier when I'm like, you've been all over the place. All of a sudden you started putting out stuff on Instagram and I wasn't used to seeing that from you in the past. So you might have to do like after your event, like rank the 9 remaining players and whoever you put at 9, we can all sit there and go, ooh, is that Shade? Is that Ron saying, I don't know about that person. Who's not getting invited back next year?
No. Yeah. I love them all.
That's the right answer.
My next safe person is Star. I don't see Star going anywhere anytime soon. She's likable. She's not threatening at the moment. She's not making any major moves. Why vote her out? So I have Star as very safe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kyle at number 2. I feel like what's nice about Kyle's game right now is he's more in with the Strong Five, but he also has Camilla, who's kind of his bridge. If they ever wanted to go with, I don't know what we're going to call them, but let's call them the Outcasts for now. If they ever wanted to go with the Outcasts, he has a bridge to that. And I feel like Kyle has a good relationship with everybody. We saw him talking to Mitch in the early portion of the game. Like, we've seen a lot from him, and he's kind of making Camilla do his dirty work when it's, hey, let's go pitch a lie to David. The next scene we see is Camilla pitching the lie to David while Kyle's just sitting over there doing his thing. He's kind of keeping his hands clean in a sly kind of way.
Camilla's so great. I just love her. I love the way she played that. She's really, really clever. Mm-hmm. So Kyle's actually going to be my 4th place.
Okay, so he's your 4th.
I do think he's safe, and I'm really enjoying him as a player.
Do you think he can win?
I would love it. I'd love him to win. It would be awesome. That'd be a great Survivor season.
Do you think he can win sticking with the Strong Five, or do you think he'd have to go a different route to ultimately pull out the win? Or do you think if he gets to the end with 2 of those people, he's actually the favorite?
I think he's so likable. I think he could be the favorite. I think if he sits there and then he makes some big announcement about how, oh, and by the way, guess what? Camila and I did all of these things throughout. It's a great resume builder. Mm-hmm.
So who are you putting at number 3? Since you jumped to 4 there with Kyle. Mary.
Mary, okay. Just because she's so under the radar. They've built no story around it. She's not in the preview. It's just Mary. I feel like she's somebody who's going to be there for a little while. Mm-hmm. Then I had Kyle. Then I have Eva. And I agree with you the same stuff about Eva, because Eva, they're not going to vote her out before Joe. Nobody would do that. That would be death, because Joe would rah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm actually going to go. It's higher than you have him, but I'm actually going to go with Joe at 3. And normally you get these big, strong guy who is just going head to head. I know that just got a big reaction from Ron, anybody who's only listening and not watching. But I feel like he's safe, because his alliance won't turn on him. They'll turn on somebody else in the alliance. That's why I feel good about him going into this week.
Okay, maybe. The only reason I've dropped him down some is because Chrissy in the preview is like, we've got to go for the big dog. We've got to go for Joe now, which probably lets us know it won't be Joe. But the fact that she's even acknowledging he's the one, he's the big dog, he's the alpha, he's got to go, makes me less confident in his future.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's but and I that's totally that. Fair. Yeah, I'm just I can't look into the edits anymore with the previews. The next time on, I almost disregard everything that I see. And it's so funny because I won't start my podcast until I watch the next time on Survivor, even though I know that whatever happens in that 30 seconds, I'm going to just have go straight out of my brain as soon as I'm done watching it. Cause I'm just so, you know, we got so accustomed in the earlier seasons to just being told that whatever was said in the next time on never happened. Like it never actually amounted to anything. And a lot of people fell for that last week. They thought Camilla and Kyle were going to be in a lot of trouble because they were going to go after Shaheen. And it was like, no, mm-hmm. nothing took place. It was two very predictable boots. So
I'll learn my lesson on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Hey, I'll be there to say, I told you so, you know, I want the microphone for 2 seconds. If Joe is good and Mary goes home, I'm going to be like, hey, Ron, I told you that was going to happen.
I'd be like, what? Oh, okay. Then next is, I have Mitch, which, I could see them voting him out. He is of the outcast. He is the strongest one, and he's such a beast at challenges. Mitch don't miss, but I don't know. So maybe he's in trouble.
Yeah, I could see that. I also, though, think that Mitch could be somebody who just survived, much like Shaheen. Maybe he survived his time to go, right? He's got the final destination thing going on now where death's going to follow him around. But he survived the big accident he wasn't supposed to survive because he got through that vote and he built up some bonds with some of these power players right now. And maybe now he can kind of go down. I mean, we had a confessional from Star in the last episode saying, I want to get rid of the big, strong people. Maybe that amounts to her trying to go for them. And then they say, whoa, Star is scary. Let's keep Mitch around because Mitch doesn't have any teeth now that he's played the block of vote.
Did Jimmy and Christy say get rid of the strong people?
No, Star had a confessional too. They both did last week. Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, Star did have that. Yeah,
my next in seventh place is Camilla, just because I don't think Kyle would flip on her, but I would hate to see that. But anyway, I had to. There's others safer, and that's why. Mm-hmm. Then I have Joe, just because I feel like he's such a threat. Next, my ninth place is David, because the whole promo shows him going kind of crazy. And so that makes him a little vulnerable, I guess. But the one I think is really going next week is Chrissy. She can't say that at a tribal council and not expect retribution. So I think she's the one.
I almost felt like last week, and you were there for it, I felt like we might have been building up because Chrissy's edit's been all over the place. So I thought Chrissy was gone last week going into the episode. And once it started to play mine. And then she started talking like that at tribal. And I was like, are we going to get like a Julia Edge of Extinction type boot here where people are just going to get up and start talking and be like, yo, we should boot her. I don't know why she's saying this. Like it started to look grim there. And I don't know how you go back to camp and say, oh, Chrissy, don't worry about what you just said at tribal council. It's totally fine that you just said you're going to lie to all of us at some point.
So you do know that was one of the most epic tribal councils in all of Survivor history.
It was 38 minutes long. Yeah, I'm aware. It was 38 minutes long. I was in an LA bar watching that with Wardog was there, and I was there with Alec and Kara, and then Anthony Robinson from Survivor Fiji. Those are the people I remember being there. And I remember all of us just being like, what the hell?
In person, I think it was like 3 hours or longer. It took forever. And then Julia, who I loved so much, got voted out. Mm-hmm. Broke my heart.
Yeah. No, that's what I was starting to think was going to happen with Chrissy. Well, I'll roll through some of mine here. We're in kind of disagreement on a lot of these, which is fun. So I'm going to read through mine so I won't be able to see your facial expressions, but I'm just going to assume they're there as I'm saying some of these. So I have Joe at 3. I have Camilla at 4. I'm feeling pretty good about Camilla and Kyle. I don't feel like Camilla's on her way out yet. I'm going Shaheen at 5 because I feel like he survived the one he did, but I also feel like he's going to be the one who tries to make the move against this alliance at some point. Probably won't happen this week, but I'll always be a little scared that maybe he'll try to make that move and it could backfire on him. So I have him at 5.
You're wrong there. You're wrong.
I have Mitch at 6. And then I have David at 7, and that means that I have 2 of your top 3 in my bottom 3. So I have Mary at 8. I have Star at 9. And then we are in agreement. I have Chrissy as the person who's going home. So ultimately everything that comes before that, I don't really see making much of a difference, but I'm worried for Star and Mary because they've been so under the radar. I feel like, especially Mary, she went to so many tribal councils. I feel like we would have seen more of her up to this point if she was going to make a really, really deep run, but you have her as a finalist.
But I think she'll be somebody who just floats to the end unless she starts making some strong gameplay. Daryl Seymour agrees with us. He said, Chrissy's getting an invisible edit. She's against Joe in the next episode. She's gone for sure. So even Daryl thinks that she's going next time.
Daryl had her at 10, and then he put up his here. Mitch at 9, Mary at 8, Star at 7. So a little bit in agreement with me, a little bit in agreement with you. He also has Shaheen at number 1. So there you go.
Right. And so it looks like other people are saying that you can't get fooled by the preview. I'm getting fooled by the preview. So
that's Ron, you've been watching what we're at, like 1,000-something episodes at this point or something. I feel like it. Maybe we're not, but it's like you're still getting fooled by the preview, Ron. Come on. I don't know. How many are we at? 13 times 48.
But I'm taking into consideration what's happening in the season plus the preview. I'm not just saying the preview alone. I'm taking into consideration what I also think is going to happen. So we'll see. But
did you watch Deal or No Deal Island this year or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So Philip Solomon, he's in here right now from that show. And he just said the David fall from grace seems inevitable. The protein intake is simply too low.
Ah, hilarious. So Phil's coming to the party. He'll be there on Wednesday.
Oh, really? That's exciting. Yes. I finally get to meet him. I've had him on the podcast twice, so now I actually get to meet him.
Yep, he'll be there. It's going to be a big time. Someone just said, are you excited to watch Survivor Australia versus the World? Yes, I'm excited. Looking forward to that. Deal or No Deal Island alum playing together will be interesting. Because they have such an alliance, you know?
I know. I wonder if that impacted the way they played Deal or No Deal Island at all, you know? Interesting.
I don't know. So which one was filmed first? No,
Deal or No Deal Island.
First. Yeah, because.
But they knew. Yeah.
And then when they go to that island, no one will know on the island that they know each other. So they've got this secret alliance going on, which I think could be interesting.
They just have to actually make it to the merge there. What did you think? I know we only have a couple. We only have like 14 minutes here left. But what did you think about the cast? Do you watch Australian Survivor too, or do you just watch U.S.?
I've watched like 2 seasons.
Okay.
When George won, when George made it to the final, what was that? Season 4?
Three
and 4, I think.
It was 2021. That's all I know. And then All Stars was the one before that. So
yeah, it's hard to watch. It's hard just to watch it. Is there an easier way to watch it now?
There's easier ways for sure. Like I have, people like download and upload it to Google Drives and stuff. That's how I watch it, because we podcast it now, and I always said it was too hard to find originally, but now it's gotten easier.
So, and is it legal
I have no idea. Jeez, I mean, geez. Yeah, I know. I know. We'll talk about that off the air, right? I have no idea. All I know is if the U.S. isn't putting it out, like, it's not like we're breaking a copyright law or something. I have no idea.
Me either, but. Yeah, I'm going to figure out some way to watch it. The previews when tonight? I mean, the first episode's tonight? When is it?
No. The finale of the current season is tonight. And last night, in the next to last episode, they put out the preview being like, here's the whole cast. And it's Parvati, Tony, and Sari are the U.S. players. And then the Australians, I'm excited for most of them. I've seen most of them play. I haven't seen all of them play. But David, obviously, is there. George is there. So, yeah. I'm sure George will cause plenty of havoc, wreak plenty of havoc. But
so when does this start? Do you know?
I think in the middle of June, late June, something like that.
Oh, great. I have plenty of time to figure out how to illegally or legally watch the show.
Yeah. And for anybody who's like, wow, that Phil guy did this. That was not me. That was somebody else who told you how to watch the show. I have no idea what you're talking about. I just have my ways. That's all I know. Yeah, here you go. Hyro says June 22nd, 2025. There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. I want to ask you these questions because I know what a big fan you are. So I need to ask these before we leave. You've already said you think Shaheen's going to win the season, right? That's covered. That's your prediction.
Yes.
Who from your season, just your season, just talking Edge of Extinction, would you want to see on 50 if you could see anybody?
Oh, man. Okay. It's got to be Reem just because she spent 35 days on that island, Edge of Extinction, and she's a beast. And I'd love to see her get a second chance. I feel like she earned the right. Because however bad you think it is on that island, y'all, it's like rough. You get nothing to eat, no shade, the sun's beating down, no coconuts, no rice, no nothing. And you're just sitting there like withering away. Your body's like disintegrating. And it's just, and there's no cameras. Like when you're on Survivor and you're struggling, when there's 20 cameras on you, I'm still on TV and I got to put up a brave face. My family's watching this. When you go to the Edge of Extinction, there's like somebody sitting there asleep holding a camcorder. And this is you with that person. The camcorder's not even on. So it's miserable. So the fact that she went through that, I want to see Reem back.
Okay, I love that. And also, like, that poor camera person who's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going back out to Survivor. And they're like, you got Edge of Extinction. It's like, shit.
Yeah. And then, we didn't at the time think that Edge of Extinction would be as shown as it was. It was, all the footage was shown from the Edge, a lot of it. But we were thinking, oh, they're not going to show any of this stuff. I tried so hard to vote out Aubrey Bracco, but I am a mega fan of hers. And if she got back on, I'd be thrilled to watch that. And of course, I love Kelly Wentworth. But I think Aubrey's going to be on The Traitors. Did you hear that rumor?
I've seen that rumor circulating. That would be great because I know Aubrey kind of after Edge of Extinction was like, I'm kind of done with reality TV. She went. I know she had a kid. Did she get married? I think she got married too, right? She kind of like went out of the public spotlight. But that would be fun to see her come back because Aubrey was always great TV. That's for sure. I always loved Aubrey.
Yeah. Yeah. She's so tough stuff.
She is. And then if you could pick one person from any season, who's the one that you most would want to see get on there?
You're kidding me. Oh my gosh. But you saw I did my list of the people I want to see come back. Mm-hmm. Any person, the one I'd be most excited about. I'm so sorry. I'm running through 1,000 names in my head.
That's okay. You take your time. I know I put you on the spot.
All right. So if I sat down and thought about it a little bit more, my answer may change slightly, but I'm going with Davey just because have you ever talked to Davey?
A lot during his season. Then the last time I talked to him was at your event. And my wife was like, oh my God, that guy's the best. What season's he on?
Best guy, super good human, great, love Survivor. He's dedicated to the community. He hosts his own parties. He shows up at everything. He's just like, he's a wonderful human. And so I would be cheering him on. There are many other people I'd love to see, but I just have a soft spot in my heart for Davey because he's such a great guy.
Yeah, I'd love to see Davey play again, too. He was so popular after David versus Goliath, and then there's just never been a time to bring him back. But I feel like and he's still young. Like, he's still a young guy ready to get out there. And last time I saw him, he was fit, you know? So, I don't know. Yeah. He could have beaten me up. J.D. Robinson in here from 41 saying, Davey keeps getting snubbed on shows. I know. Get him in.
Yeah, I've heard the same, but he's great TV, too. So mm-hmm. He plays hard.
Yeah. Well, anything before we wrap up here, any special like little tease or anything for your event on Wednesday, anything going on?
No, there's no more tickets. Don't come. Don't come. What did Kamala Harris say? Don't come. Like, don't come because there's no room, no more tickets. But maybe next year.
Yeah.
I'm charging next year. Normally it's a free event, but when it was just 100 people, I could cover that. But when you're trying to do food and stuff for 800 people, it's just ridiculous. So I am going to charge next year something, not to make money, just to cover the cost of the food and drinks and everything.
I mean, you're literally having 8 weddings at one time right now, Ron.
It's like I'm getting married to Survivor.
How many people were there last year? Just so I can get a sense of how much more crowded it's about to be when I show up.
It's just like 500. I think maybe 600. And then this is going to be 800. I remember you had to sit way up at the top because it was so packed. So this time it's going to be even more packed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want the you better have that sign printed out this time. You know, even if it is in the back row, I just want a sign that says Specialist Phil, but you can put it all the way at the top if you need to.
Got you.
But well, I'm looking forward to it for anybody who's going to be at the event. It's such a great time. I remember going last year. I was like, well, this just works out with my schedule. Let's go see what that was like. And then not only the event, but just getting to see Ron's school is just insane within itself. That place is unbelievable. It was like being in Game of Thrones when you walk into that one room. I was like, what is happening right now? So just to see that, it's worth the price of admission, which obviously this year is nothing. So anybody who's going to be there, make sure you say hi. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And so thank you for hosting and for sharing great news about Survivor. I love that.
Well, thank you for coming on here today. Thank you so much. Everybody who's listening, please like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on over there. Every season matters. We are moving on from Gabon to Tocantins on next Thursday or two Thursdays from now. So make sure you tune into that. We're having a lot of fun with that. And then plus all the other content that we have going on over there. Australian Survivor finale recap will either be tomorrow night or Tuesday afternoon. McKenna and I still have to figure that out. Otherwise, thank you all so much for being here, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.